Welcome back. I'm Jonathan Taplin, sitting in for Ian Masters. Joining us now is Trevor Potter, who was a Republican FEC commissioner from 1991 to 1995, serving as chairman in 1994. Washington-based lawyer, he has also represented Stephen Colbert and appeared on the Colbert Report to discuss election law and Colbert's super PAC. So, Trevor, you wrote a piece in the Washington Post last week that made it clear that the Federal Election Commission was as responsible as the Supreme Court for the super PAC disaster of the last election. Can you explain?
Right. What happened here is that the Supreme Court said that corporations could do unlimited independent spending. That's what they said in Citizens United. But they also said that that spending would be fully disclosed, however they did it, so that shareholders would know what their corporations were doing and could hold them accountable, and so that the rest of us, as we watched television ads, would know who was paying for them and could make our judgments based on the identity of the funders. They also said that this sort of spending by super PACs was going to be entirely and wholly independent of candidates or party committees. And in their view, that means it would be less corrupting because there wouldn't be any coordination between the candidates and the parties. The independent spenders might say things the candidates don't like, and it was a more core First Amendment value to spend this unlimited money if it had nothing to do with coordination with candidates and parties. The problem is, as we all know, that's not what things looked like. A lot of the money wasn't disclosed. It was given to nonprofit entities, which don't disclose their donors, and they spent the money or passed it through. And a lot of these super PACs became what we have called candidate super PACs, meaning the Romney super PAC, the Obama super PAC, the Gingrich super PAC, with very close ties between the candidates, the campaigns, and these supposedly independent groups. And the fault for all that lies with the Federal Election Commission, because the Supreme Court assumed, reading the laws, that the spending was going to be disclosed because that's what McCain-Feingold requires. And they stated that the spending was only protected and therefore unlimited if it was wholly independent. The problem is we have a government agency that is supposed to be enforcing those rules, and instead it has been undermining them, circumventing them, writing regulations which have made it easier not to disclose the spending and easier to do the sort of coordinated activities that we've seen. That's the core problem here, is that the law is not being enforced or interpreted the way the Supreme Court assumed it would be.
So when you were at the Federal Election Commission, it actually seemed to work, even though it is split between three Democrats and three Republicans. And so in that sense, is there something that changed in the nature of the FEC?
Yes, I think it did. I mean, to start with, a 3-3 agency with the legal requirement that you have to have four votes to take any action is unwieldy. There are going to be times when they deadlock with the best of intentions, but it was set up that way so that no one party could take control of the agency and use it to do harm to the other. What's happened instead, really, with the current commission, is that we have ended up with the Republican leadership in Congress insisting that the president appoint people who had formerly worked for party leaders and were known to be opposed to the McCain-Feingold reform law and to favor looser enforcement of these federal rules. So it's the Republican Party in Washington, not in necessarily the country at large, but in the congressional leadership, has really ended up in a position of opposing the campaign finance regulations that we have now. And so they insisted the White House appoint three Republican commissioners who have taken that view. That means that we don't really have a partisan split so much as an ideological split. We have three commissioners who don't much believe in the law that they're supposed to enforce, and that has resulted in continual deadlocks. 3-3 ties over whether to put out notices of proposed rulemaking, 3-3 ties about what Citizens United means, 3-3 ties about when something is coordinated. Carl Rove's group, the American Crossroads, put in an advisory opinion request saying, we would like to do coordinated, non-coordinated communications. Can we do that? Which meant talk to the candidate about what's in the communications, but somehow wave a legal wand and said it's not coordinated. And the Democrats said, of course you can do that. The three Republicans said you can, so we had another 3-3 tie. So we've ended up with a regulatory agency that simply can't do its job.
So most of the commissioners' terms are up. Is there anything President Obama could do to change this incredible gridlock that we seem to be under here?
Yeah, that's actually one of the mysteries here, is that at the moment, five of the commissioners' terms have been up. There was one vacancy when the president got there. He nominated someone. Nothing happened. That was then withdrawn. So we've had no nominees out of the Obama White House since then, since he first got to Washington. We now have five vacancies. The problem I think the White House faces is that the tradition has been that the president get Republican names from the Republican leadership, and he talked to the Democratic leadership in Congress about Democratic names, and then he basically appoints the people Congress asks him to. And if he does that here, there's no sign the Republicans want to get rid of the current ones, and they can stay as long as they're still living until their successors get there. But even if the Republicans gave him new names, there's no sign, unfortunately, that they would be people who believed in the law, wanted to enforce it, wanted more disclosure. So what the White House is going to have to do is very hard for them. It's going to have to really take on Congress on this and assert presidential prerogatives. This is not complicated. The Constitution says that the president shall nominate and the Senate shall review those nominations and advise and consent. But it's been turned on its head at the FEC, where the tradition is Congress nominates, gives the names of the president, and then he sends it back to Congress, which confirms. So the White House, in order to break this situation we're in now, the White House is going to have to find a way to nominate really qualified people who believe in the law on a what I would call nonpartisan or cross-partisan basis. They could do that by going out and getting respected figures from both parties to make suggestions to the White House, but I think they're going to have to take this back into their own hands and no longer rely on the congressional leadership if they want a real change at the FEC.
So I just want to remind the audience I'm speaking to Trevor Potter about the Federal Election Commission. Trevor, I have just one more question, which is organizations like Crossroads GPS, which I believe were organized under the 501c4 statute, call themselves social welfare organizations. How could that be? And most of our listeners just can't understand how the IRS could allow these people to have tax-free organizations that don't have to disclose anything. And how can this be?
Well, I think the first thing is to identify the reason for it, the game being played. And that is that if you give money to a candidate, a party, or even one of these super PACs, that does have to be disclosed as to the source and the amount of the donation. But if you give to one of these nonprofit tax-exempt groups, which are not supposed to be political committees, that's not allowed to be their major purpose, then since they're a nonprofit, they report to the IRS, not the Federal Election Commission, and they don't make public their donors. So the game here is for people who want to spend a lot of money in elections secretly to give the money to one of these C4 groups or even what's called a C6, which is a Chamber of Commerce or Business League. And those groups spend the money and they say this ad is paid for by Americans for a Better Country. And they don't tell you who is funding Americans for a Better Country. So that's why the money is going to these groups, to avoid disclosure. Now, the question, how do they get away with it? Partly it is the IRS is just very slow. It may be over time they will challenge some of these groups. But the way the IRS works is very different than the more or less contemporaneous disclosure of the FEC. You file at the IRS the year after you've engaged in all the activity, so that it could be 18 months after an election before a group actually files a tax return, and that's confidential for a while. And again, the donors are never disclosed. So it takes quite a while after an election for the IRS to even absorb what's happened here and then consider whether to challenge it. And in some cases, what seems to be going on is these groups spend money in elections and then disappear. So they may not even file a tax return because they're not around the year after the election. So the IRS isn't designed to cope with disclosure of political spending. That's really the bottom line. By going to the IRS, these groups have gotten out of any sort of an active enforcement system. And unfortunately, because of the deadlock at the FEC isn't doing anything about it either.
Do you have any sense that this could be solved by the 2016 election?
Well, I think it could if the White House wanted it to be, because I think they could push this and make it an issue. The easiest thing to do here of everything is to get new FEC commissioners and have six commissioners who are committed to enforcing the law. Let me be clear. I think there are commissioners on that agency now who want to enforce the law, but they don't have the votes. They're deadlocked. So if the White House were to push this, the first thing they do, I think, is send good bipartisan names to Congress. The next thing they do would be to push for a recess appointment or to push the Senate to explain why they're not confirming these people, but make a public issue of it. Raise the stakes, because at the moment, no one has really heard about this or paid attention to it, and that means the status quo can stay in place. So we need some attention and leadership from the White House here if we're going to expect any quick changes. The longer-term changes might come from Congress, from changing the way the FEC is set up, but that takes legislation, and that's obviously a lot harder than the president using his constitutional prerogatives.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Trevor Potter.
You're welcome. Thanks very much for having me on.
Again, I've been speaking with Trevor Potter, who was Republican FEC commissioner from 1991 to 1995, serving as the chairman in 1994. A Washington-based lawyer, he has represented Stephen Colbert and appeared on the Colbert Report to discuss election law and Colbert's super PAC. We're going to take a brief station break, and when we return, we'll have David Lowery, the lead guitar player from Cracker and Campervan Beethoven, and we'll talk about music and intellectual property.